Okay? So most of us don't pray as we ought. And so all through the Bible, we're told to call on the name of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, there are very, very few places in Scripture that get specific and say, pray for this exact thing. There are some, but there are not very many of them. But we've got one here. Pray for laborers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers. Now, why did Jesus want these men to do that? Number one, because the needs are so great, we got to have more laborers. The obvious statement is true. We don't have enough workers. Can I say to you, the people who are attending Faith Fellowship this morning, in Jefferson County, in the city of Watertown, and the surrounding towns, we don't have enough Christian workers. Can you hear that? Can you let it sink deep into your ears? Can you get it down inside you? We don't have enough Christian workers. We're far short. The desperation is the same today as it was in Christ's day. Multitudes, multitudes, not knowing of the love of Jesus, needing Him. That's why He asked His disciples to pray for laborers. Secondly, something happens to you and I when we get focused on what Jesus is focused on. Something wonderful happens to us, and we begin to be touched with the compassions that drove Him. There's a transference that takes place. That's why we're supposed to pray. Praying gets us connected with the living God in a way that nothing else does. Praying is the hardest thing to do for the flesh, the toughest thing to do. You're talking to an unseen person. You never hear him respond to you. A lot of people think that's nuts. They think that's insane. A lot of people in the world go, "You're crazy, man. You're talking to yourself. I hope somebody's listening." You know, we're praying. We're asking the unseen God to hear us because we know that our life is too difficult and too hard without His intervention, and it's certainly too difficult and too hard for those that have yet to discover Him. So something happens. Something is transferred to you and I when we pray in the way that the Lord wants us to pray. And I know this compassion was transferred to these disciples. I know it because I know the way they lived after this passage. I know what they did in the book of Acts and in other places and how they went on to do wonderful exploits in the name of the Lord and how God used them to reach this population and this group and that single individual and how God used them and how they loved and longed to be used by the Lord and how they gave their lives for the gospel cause. I want to challenge you with something. I got a room full of people here, and I'm going to tell you, you are more called than you could ever realize. We don't have enough preachers. We don't have enough pastors. We don't have enough evangelists. We don't have enough prophets. We don't have enough teachers. We don't have enough missionaries. We don't have enough of anything. That's the truth. That's how it is. That's how it really is. That's reality. He told them to pray for laborers because this kind of compassion only comes from God. You can't drum it up yourself. You don't. You just can't go, "Now I got some." You got to get it from Jesus. Therefore, we got to pray for it. They prayed for laborers, and they became the laborers that they prayed for. By the way, you want a better prayer life? Get some compassion in your life, and you'll have something to pray about. It'll move you. It'll get you on your knees. I find that's been true over and over in my life. I'm kind of bored, kind of used to the Christian thing. I'm not a terribly self-disciplined individual. I kind of fail on that. But if I find out you're hurting and that touches me, I find a place to get on my knees and say, Jesus, you got to help. Compassion will help your prayer life. Jesus used a farming illustration. I'm going to wrap this up now. He used a farming illustration, and he said, the harvest is now. And you know how that works, right? It's time to get the strawberries. It's time to chop the corn. Right? It's a certain time of the year. You wait too long, and everything rots. And so he used a farming illustration. You can't get away from it, my friends. There's a timing in things. We're called to be involved in that timing of the Lord, where He arranges your life to meet the needs of the people around you, the people in your sphere of influence. Every disciple, every life here is a window of opportunity for somebody who does not know the Lord. I want to tell you a difficult story. It's hard for me to talk about. It happened to me. I was a young man at this particular time and was just newly married, moved into an apartment on Pleasant Street with my wife, little one-bedroom apartment. Have fond memories of that place. Met the landlord. Got a chance to talk with him one day, shared Jesus with him. Kind of brash, not terribly smooth, kind of blurted it out. Felt like I should, so I did. That landlord went and talked to somebody that lived behind us. In Watertown, sometimes in the city, you have this unique situation where you have a house on the street and the driveway goes between two houses, and in the backyard someplace is another house. And this guy lived back there with his wife. I came out one day. I had to go somewhere. I was going to the back part of the, behind the house where my car was parked to drive, and the man came out of his house with his wife, and he was going somewhere too, and he was limping. He said, hey there, young man. I said, yes, sir. He said, I hear that you're a serious Christian. The landlord had talked to him about me. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, listen, I'm going to the doctor right now. I just had a farming accident just a few hours ago. I was driving a tractor on such and such a person's farm, and I was on the side hill, and it got too steep, and the tractor rolled and rolled over on top of me, and I lived. I don't know how, but here I am. And I went, wow. And he said, God spared my life for a reason, and I wanted to ask you if you knew what that reason was. Talk about an open door. Do you know what I did? God help me. I'd love to talk to you about that. I can get you in a couple days. I'll come over in the evening and talk with you. But you know, I got to be someplace. I got my car in Provoy. The man died the following morning. I never got the chance. Now, my hope is somebody did. Okay? But you are a window of opportunity. And may God put that in your heart and your mind. Everywhere you go, every person you meet, you are their opportunity to find that Jesus is real, that He's alive, and that He loves them. And may the Lord awaken you and me to that, that we are their opportunity. And the Lord is always moved with compassion. It is us who get callous of heart. It is us who grow cold, who get tired, who get weary. We're the window of opportunity they need. That's why Jesus left us here. Why would He put us through all this? If heaven's so great and I'm forgiven, don't give me any more chances to follow it up. Just take me to heaven now. But I'm left here. Why? because I'm to learn to live a life of love that cares about another person enough to do something about their state, to do something about it. Not just hope that it gets better. I suggest two things. First, take some time before you go to bed. Take 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and pray for laborers. Pray that God would raise up workers to go into the great harvest field of Watertown in Jefferson County. It's a great harvest field. Thousands upon thousands of people do not yet know the love of Jesus. You and I are their window of opportunity. Pray for laborers. Pray for it. Pray specifically for that. Get serious about it. Think about where you'd be if somebody hadn't shared Christ with you. You never heard about the Lord. Never knew of His forgiveness. Where would you be right now? What kind of life would you be living? I don't think I'd be alive, personally. I don't know what your life was like before Christ, but I can tell you I was a selfish outlaw, bent on my own destruction. That's a fact. I am a rescued man. Take 10 or 15 minutes or so and pray for laborers. And when you do, pick someone in your sphere of influence. What do I mean by sphere of influence? Everybody has a group that they can relate to. The sociologist will tell you the average is about 40 to 45 people. People that know you well enough that they'll listen to you. People that you know well enough that you can go talk to them. Now, that's an average. So some people have a few more and some people have a few less. Being a pastor, I probably have twice to three times that, all right, because that's my life. My life is people, so I'm involved with people everywhere. Others are not like that, but that's the average. But there's somebody in your sphere of influence that needs the love of Jesus. They do. They're in trouble. There's probably several somebodies. The second thing I'd like you to do is to pick that person out in your prayer. And when you pray for laborers, pray for that individual. And be willing, because they know you, be willing to go and give them a word of encouragement. Share something of your testimony with them. Find out how they're doing. Offer to pray for them. Make some effort to share the love of Jesus. Maybe they have a need that you can serve some way. You can get active. You can get involved. The thing we gotta have at Faith Fellowship or any church is we got to avoid sitting around doing nothing but living our lives and thinking that that's important. Your life is important because of the impact you can have on someone else. That's the reason why you were left. Me too. We cannot afford to sleep our life away. In the next several weeks, we're going to bring a series of messages to this church about the vision that God's been giving us in recent times. It is a similar vision to the one that we've always had, but there are some wonderfully new and refreshing points of that. We're going to talk about that vision. We're going to give practical ways that we can saddle up and get moving and reach people for Jesus' sake and be the kind of church that welcomes anyone who needs the Lord. Right? That's what we want to be. And we're also going to dovetail those messages with a series of messages about unity, about what the Bible really means by unity and how we can experience the unity that Jesus provided when He died and when He prayed for it. We can experience it and appreciate it and enjoy it. A unity that's far beyond what most Christians experience. It's not because it's unavailable. It's because it's misunderstood and not, I think, appropriately shared. And the Lord's talking to me about this, and we need to talk about it. But you can't have unity unless you're moving in one direction. So I guess you can have unity standing still, but I don't know how healthy that is for very long. And so we're going to mix vision with unity. We're going to do it over the next several weeks. I would ask that you invite people who aren't churched anyplace. Invite unsaved people, invite Christians who are wandering around. Invite them. Let them find out where we're headed, what we're doing, and how they can join us. Amen? Amen. That's the end of the conclusion. I can't get out of it, so I'm getting out. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for the compassion you exercised when you searched for me and found me, sought me out, and rescued me. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for the same for each person here. Now, I pray today, Father. I do what your scriptures tell us to do. I ask that you would fire up the believer. You would inspire them and call them and bring forth workers, laborers, to go into your harvest field. Lord, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That's what Jesus said. That condition remains the same today as it was then. And so, Lord, let us, like the disciples of old, be inspired by your truth and your spirit and your presence and your nature, and have the compassion that you have. And raise up laborers, I pray, for the harvest field. Jesus, help us in this way. Be pleased, Lord, to hear us when we cry. Do not leave us to our own way, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your willing presence. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, join us for some refreshments in the back of the room, please. Let's hang out together. God bless all of you. Thanks for listening.